righteousness is exactly what needs to be made known today. There is righteousness. There's that righteousness, of course, of Christ. But notice what he's saying here. It's the same thing from the beginning. Cain killed Abel because his deeds were righteous. There's something that the world's going to see in you. They're going to see righteousness. They're going to see, yes, Christ's righteousness coming out. But they're going to see a righteous love for what's true and what's right. And it's going to have a great convicting work in the world.
Hi there. Welcome. This is Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon returns us to John chapters 15 and 16 as we continue our survey of John, uniquely and specifically, the Upper Room Discourse. It's here that Jesus comforts his disciples and you and I as well, especially in light of all the fears that can swirl around us. Let's catch up with Chris now for today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
You will be excluded from religious and social events, from people. Your friends and family may disown you. Some may rather see you dead. And they'll think they're doing God a favor. That's remarkable statements by Jesus. Can you imagine hearing that? Now notice the heart of this. Jesus is saying the reason is they don't know me. They don't know me. There are a bunch of people today in churches that don't know God. This is what Jesus is saying. This will happen. And the reality is, as we looked at last time, with the wicked positions of the world and the culture that's now being accepted inside the church, who do you think is going to do this? Anyone who has a conviction on anything today is the one who's not appreciated. And we see that today, that they scoff at religion. Jesus said these things, the exclusive claims. Think about saying today this truth. Just this is an easy one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to heaven except through me. We've fought this one for a long time. Who accepts that today anymore? And where? There's all kind of roads to heaven. We've been writing and talking about this for a long time. We fought that battle. Now it's getting a little more complex as the church has invited the culture in. Now they're saying, no, the way of happiness is you will accept whoever I want to marry. You will accept however I define myself. If I want to be a man and I'm a woman, that's my business. You think this is going to be easy in the future to say sorry? That's not biblical. You see it. You see it. All the stuff that's flooding in, and we're not united in standing against it. Because many people who don't know the Father and the Son are accepting it. This will be normalized. Now, this is not exciting. I admit, this doesn't feel like encouragement, does it? You may be hated and you'll be killed, maybe. You understand Jesus saying that when you became a Christian, this could happen? Well, I don't want to think about it. But if you could be in the shoes of the disciples for a moment, it must have been really exciting the whole time to walk around with Jesus in the ministry, to have him at the forefront. think about having Jesus himself walking in front of you, taking all the hits. I'd be bold. I mean, there's my hero. There's my champion. Yep. I'm standing with him. But then Jesus says, I'm going away. You're doing what? Imagine the fear that hit them. I mean, they felt untouchable with Jesus. Well, I would love today to have Jesus walking with us on the earth. He could deal with all this stuff, right? Nobody's going to mess with him. But now he just said, I'm going away. Verse 5, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask, where are you going? Why are you going there? Because I said these things to you. Here's what's happened to you. Sorrow has filled your hearts. You know, whatever you felt hearing this right now, that sort of made you go, oh. Imagine hearing it that day. It just put them in the doldrums. I mean, they just felt major sorrow and discouragement that they're going to have to face this. I mean, it must have been amplified 100 times for them when you have Jesus standing right in front of you and he's taking the hits. You know, you kind of feel this today a little bit. You get a little sense of the disciples today. What's happening right now? We've been so accustomed to religious liberty and protections. We've had a wall around us. It's really been wonderful. You know, a wall of protection that has been given to us constitutionally in this land and all these things. That is a wall that has been given to us so that we can practice, and we have felt safe. We have felt untouched. We have felt that no one can mess with us. And I've often wondered if that's made us just a little bit more relaxed, not standing for things the way we should. That wall's coming down. That wall's coming down. It's exactly what's happening right now. The wall of protections for us to exercise our religion in this country is coming down. So now what? Well, Jesus was their wall. Jesus himself was their wall. I'd take Jesus over the Constitution, by the way. Jesus challenges them. You should be asking about where I'm going, what that means for you. I really want you to ask that. I really want you to think about that, but you're not. You're so filled. You're so full of fear. I'm saying all these things to you so that your joy would be full. Remember he just said that? I want you to have joy in this life. Jesus had said these things so that they would not be made to fall away. By the way, that's exactly what a true prophet did. The false prophets in Israel always said, oh, don't worry about anything. Nothing bad's going to happen. It's all love. Is Jesus saying that? I'm telling you this because I love you. And because I'm not going to let you fall away, you need to know what you signed up for, what I called you to, actually. Look carefully at verse 4. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. So translate, I'm now telling you because you're ready. You know, in many ways, they're sort of in the Christian faith, spiritual infancy. And then under the right conditions, at the right time, we can hear things for the first time. Aren't you, perfect example, doesn't your world, your home is not of this world sound a lot better now than it did 10 years ago? Doesn't I've prepared a place for you sound a lot better now than it did? Sometimes our Christianity is so circumstantial, isn't it, to the things we face, death, sorrow, suffering, changing world. We can now be prepared to hear things for the first time. And this is where I think what's happened. That they're now ready to hear this. They're ready to be taught in this. They're ready to receive it. I've seen this the whole ministry. It's remarkable. I know there's some people who mark in their Bibles when the pastor preached this text and this sermon, and they always know when he did that because he shouldn't do it again. And I always thought, no, I should do it again because you're going to hear it differently the next time. I promise you. But I always rework them. I want you to know. Listen to this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Verse 7. It is to your advantage that I go away. You've been fighting this the whole time. You tried to stop me, Peter. Where's he going? What's he talking about going away? In John's gospel, that always means the cross. It's to your advantage that I'm going to die and going to be resurrected. Why was it so necessary? Because I'm going to go achieve for you salvation. I'm going to go achieve for you forgiveness. I'm going to go secure your place in heaven. And I'm going to go, the favor of the Father. He's about to say in John 16, I'm going to finally, you need to understand, and you're going to understand, the Father loves you. All of this is going to happen through my going away. But I know you can't uphold yourselves. I know you don't have the strength. I know you have your grip on your swords. Remember Peter chopped off an ear? That's our ARs. I know you grip your weapons. I know you're scared. But here's one of the greatest things my work is going to secure for you. The helper is going to come. When I depart, he's going to come. The Spirit is going to come. Here's the marvel of the Christian message, beloved. I mean, it is really a marvel that we don't ponder. He's not dwelling over there. He's not dwelling over there. He's going to dwell in your bodies. He's going to indwell you as a guarantor of my purchased possession, because I'm going to come get you at some point. But he's going to enter you, and he's going to seal you for the day of redemption. The entire New Testament sees the work of the Spirit as the dynamic and dynamite power of God in this age. I mean, this is what Ephesians 1 says when it begins by saying, there is an exceeding, you haven't even realized the exceeding abundance of power that is given to you by the work of the Spirit. This is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. Remember in Acts when tongues of fire happened, all of a sudden it created boldness, and these guys were incredible. Jesus says, when I go away, he's going to come. Now here's our problem. Is that for us, and the way the Spirit has been taught to us, the way we have heard the teaching of the Spirit, for us in our time, has been too sentimental. In other words, we focus on him sentimentally. The Spirit's going to come, and he's going to comfort us in all of our aches and pains. The Spirit's going to come in all of our personal afflictions, and he's going to be a helper to us, and he's going to fix our problems. This is how generally the Spirit is preached. Jesus here calls him the Parakletos. What that means is he's appearing on your behalf as what? A mighty defender. A mighty defender. If they try to touch you, which they will, guess who rises up in your place? Listen to the effect of Jesus saying it now. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Satan. The Spirit now who dwells in you is greater than Satan in the world. Understand that. Because I know you're all scared of this. The reality is he's your security wall. Is what Jesus is saying. No nation, no people, no document, no sword could ever give you what the Spirit gives you. They don't want to mess with him. This is the effect of this. They don't want to mess with him. The third person of the Trinity's coming. And watch out when he comes. You see how we've had this soft, pathetic view of God. And it really does work its way out in every person of the Trinity. I believe this is the confidence Jesus wanted to inspire when he said it. Sure, he's going to care for you, and he's going to minister you when you have hurt and pain. Sure, that's what he's going to do, but there's something else he's going to do. He's going to defend you. He's your defender. That's what this means. And I think Jesus captures that now by saying he's going to do two things in my absence for you. Are you afraid of what I'm leaving you here to do? Are you afraid right now? Let me tell you first what he's going to do for you when he comes. I'm going to send you on a great mission. And here's what he's going to do. The success of your mission is his. Here's what he's going to do. Verse 8, when he comes, this is what he's going to do in the world. Then he's going to come back to what he's going to do for you. He's going to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. This is really important to focus on just for a minute here. With everything happening right now, you think it's going to go well for people? Really? Who are taking the basic morality that is written on the human heart. And Romans 1, suppressing it and suppressing it and suppressing it and legislating to legalize that. You think that's going to go well? Not going to go well. And we don't realize this. We're scared. Not going to go well. Because the Spirit is here, and he's not going to let it go well. So it's amazing. The Spirit is actually going to be doing the convicting of the world and the judgment on the world in these things. That's his business. That's his work. And through you, through your voice, he's going to bring great conviction about the truth. He's the Spirit of truth. I just love that. I think that is the most encouraging statement in our day. The Spirit of truth has come to you. The only deposit of truth you have. He's going to minister the truth through his church in testifying about Jesus. He's not speaking on his own. That's what Pentecostalism's got wrong. He is going to minister the truth as it is in Jesus. He's going to bear witness about the Son. Come back to that. Which says to us, don't be afraid to speak the truth. We looked at the way we should do that. Sometimes we fail. But we can't be afraid to speak the truth because this is the work of the Spirit in the earth. He is the Spirit of truth. That means you're going to make a lot of people really uncomfortable at times. That is evidence of his work. You see, this is what we fought God on. We don't want to be viewed that way. We don't want to be viewed as thinking we're right about it. There's truth. Speak it. That's the work of the Spirit in you. Tell the truth. That's what we need more than ever today. And it's going to have an effect. The whole New Testament says it's going to diffuse the fragrance of Christ to those who are being saved and to those who are perishing. It's an aroma of death to those who are dying, and it's aroma of life to those who are being given life. And Jesus says the Spirit also is going to bring deep conviction about righteousness. You see, I think this is such an important point. You know, people are so uncomfortable about righteousness is exactly what needs to be made known today. There is righteousness. There's that righteousness, of course, of Christ. But notice what he's saying here. It's the same thing from the beginning. Cain killed Abel because his deeds were righteous. There's something that the world's going to see in you. They're going to see righteousness. They're going to see, yes, Christ's righteousness coming out. But they're going to see a righteous love for what's true and what's right. And it's going to have a great convicting work in the world. And then he's going to also convict of the judgment to come, which is falling. In other words, their life will be a righteous warning to them of the judgment to come unless they repent. That's part of your status. And that's why in this world, they're fighting so hard right now. It's open to spiritual eyes. They're fighting so hard because these things are bearing down on them. Understand that? The truth bears down on them. Righteousness bears down on them. And judgment bears down on them. And they fight with all they have against it. That's what's going on. It's evidence. We boast about 2 Thessalonians 1, we boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and all the afflictions you're enduring. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom for which you're also suffering. See? It's evidence. But I want to close with this. The Spirit's not just going to do this and then he's going to do something for you. Verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he's going to guide you in all the truth. He's not going to speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will tell you the things to come. He's going to minister to you the word of God constantly and keep you and uphold you in that truth so you never fall away. That's the work of the Spirit. And the Father and the Son sending the Spirit with the purpose of making known Christ. Look at verse 14. He will glorify me. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Now, I said this was my favorite section to preach, but now I found my favorite verse. The Spirit is going to take what is Christ's. Stop. What is Christ's? righteousness that far exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Everything that is good and right of Christ's word and how we find a righteousness before God by which we can stand. And he will, if you had some knowledge of the Greek here, you'd see it. He will evangelo it to you. He'll preach the gospel to you. That is the word for the heralding of the gospel to you. He's been doing it for you your whole lives. It's future active. What that means is when he comes, he's going to constantly be keeping you in the truth and herald the good news about Jesus to you. You don't see his work? Church can't fall. He will continue to do this for you. He's going to give you comforting words of peace, comforting his people with the gospel. That's why Paul went around, and it was he who did this for the churches. He maintained the ministry of the paraclete by giving comforting message of the gospel. And every time the word is faithfully proclaimed and the gospel is faithfully proclaimed, you say, there's the whole work of the Holy Spirit right there. He's committed to do this for you. He's committed to keep you this way. Well, I could go on a while. But dear Christians, I guess I have to say, to close this, you have nothing to fear. I know that's feels like an easy thing to say. But I think this passage challenges us, as the whole New Testament does, to begin to live knowing Christ and the power of his resurrection and the exceeding abundance of power that is given to you through the work of the Spirit. He dwells in you. He loves you. He will keep you. He's your wall of protection. You don't need a greater one. You will fulfill what he called you to do. You will do exactly what he called you to do. So sleep well tonight. You're his. This is our God. And he is the Spirit of truth. And what a comfort to know that he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Let's pray to him. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great truth, the Spirit of truth who has come to dwell within us, and for encouraging us in this, in these days, to not lose heart, and to know that you will fulfill your perfect will, and then the glorious kingdom will come in all its fullness. We give you great praise and thanks for saving us and loving us and securing us with a guarantor. Receive our blessing today, O Lord, and give us confidence in your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, we thank you for taking some of your valuable time and spending it with us here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We do trust that our time together today has brought about some real encouragement in your walk and relationship with Christ. We'd love to hear from you. You can always reach out to us and let us know how the broadcast encourages you in Christ. Now, there are a couple of ways of reaching out to us. You can visit us online, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or by calling 888-504-8805. If you have questions, write them to us, questions@agradio.org. Or use your voice memo app on your smartphone or your device. Record your question, and again, mail it to us, questions@agradio.org, and we'll do our best to answer them as they come to us. Abounding Grace Radio is on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can visit our website for links to the platform that you like to follow. And if you have an interest in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, well, we are listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program, how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, well, get in touch with us. As always, no gift is too small or too large. One-time gift, recurring gift, it all sustains this broadcast here on this station. You can go to agradio.org and donate online securely, or call 888-504-8805, or send your donation via mail, Abounding Grace, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Again, thank you for taking some of your valuable time and directing it our way. It's greatly appreciated, and we trust you've been encouraged in Christ. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.